Our first case is Tara Goffman versus the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, 2022, 1130. Mr. Carpenter, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Kenneth Carpenter appearing on behalf of Tara Goffman. Ms. Goffman is an attorney who represented a veteran in proceedings before the agency following a final decision of the Board of Veterans Appeals. She was successful in that representation and secured for the veteran a service connection for his service-connected disability from post-traumatic stress disorder and with an initial rating of 70%. While still the attorney for the veteran, she filed what's called a TDIU application. That TDIU application was ultimately granted. It was not granted at the time in which she was actively representing the veteran. This case falls within the exception to the Williams criteria for finality. This is not a final decision for purposes of review by this court under the Williams criteria.
It does relate to application of law to fact. In fact, there was a remand for the board to address the correct facts in law.
And that therein lies the problem, and that's why this appeal is before this court, because that remand order relies upon a misinterpretation of the regulation. The regulation dictates a binary choice.
Well, why do you think that the Veterans Court decided the interpretation of the regulation? I understand that the government before the Veterans Court said you should remand to determine reasonableness.
Yes.
And here they talk about the same thing. The Veterans Court, though, did not say that. The
Veterans
Court simply said remand to decide whatever the correct interpretation of the law is and its application. So that's wide open for you to argue about on remand. And so I'm not having trouble seeing that there was even an implicit ruling by the Veterans Court on what, if anything, that regulation would require.
Because the remand didn't come until the Veterans Court reversed the board's decision. And they reversed the board's determination that Ms. Goffney was not employed at the time in which the issue of TDIU was raised. That is the dispositive question under both the statute and the regulation.
Well, but for you to say it's dispositive is to assert a interpretation of the regulation, of the legal regime, and I don't see that the Veterans Court even implicitly adopted a contrary view.
They did, Your Honor, by ordering the remand.
I'm sorry for interrupting you, but you agree, you're just saying implicit, right?
Yes.
I mean, doesn't the reason that it has to be clear, that there's a clear legal ruling under the Williams standard?
There is a clear legal ruling on the question that was presented by Ms. Goffney in her appeal. Her appeal was whether or not the board relied upon a misinterpretation of the controlling regulation, which permitted her to charge and receive a fee. The Board of Veterans Appeals interpreted that regulation incorrectly by looking to the alternative means for establishing entitlement, which was a notice of disagreement on or after the effective date of the amendment of 5904C. When that happens, there is a choice to be made. And the reason that we know that that choice was made favorably is that Ms. Goffney was granted a fee for the original scheduler rating. And when she was granted the fee, that was an acknowledgement and a finding of fact and binding case law by the nature of the case that in the case, the agency found that she was entitled to a fee during the periods of time in which she represented based upon a first final board decision.
I interrupted you in the middle of answering Judge Tronto's questions. I apologize for that. But did you have anything else you wanted to add in response to his question?
Yes, but I'm sorry. I blanked on the question.
I guess I was focusing on, I know that you're arguing that there was an implicit legal determination, and I guess I'm questioning that. I think you might well have had, I think I understand why that might well have been true. Had the Veterans Court said what the government asked it to say and what the government now says, which is remand for the application of the regulation to determine the reasonable amount. But the Veterans Court didn't say that. The Veterans Court says remand is warranted for the board to apply the proper interpretation of the law to the correct facts in the first instance. And why is that not like saying there's a legal dispute here? We just think as a matter of prudence, the board or whoever should address that before we do.
Because the secretary conceded that a error was made, that Ms. Goffney was not in fact under the employment agreement that she had with the veteran. And the employment agreement under this statutory scheme, under 5904C, is what controls the authority to charge and receive a fee by an attorney. The agency found favorably that she was entitled to a fee based upon her representation following a final board decision and paid her that fee. There was a change in representation, a denial of the original TDIU application, and then an award.
With a few things crossing in the mail.
Crossed during the night. But there is no factual dispute, and the court found and reversed the finding of fact made by the board that she was not employed and did not raise the issue of TDIU while employed by the veteran. That reversal is controlling the disposition of the case. That ends the controversy. There is nothing to remand to decide. Not the question of reasonableness, as the government asked and the lower court ignored, nor the question of any fact-finding. There's only one fact. Was she doing her performing services for the veteran at the time in which the issue of TDIU was presented? And the court found and reversed the board's decision to the contrary. Once it did that, that ended the fee consideration. This court has interpreted 5904C in the rulemaking context, in which this court has recognized that the only thing that 5904C does, and as an extension, the regulation does, is to identify the triggering event. And the triggering event in this case was the final board decision, which got her a fee. She was then entitled to a fee on the extended issue of whether the rating should or should not have been considered for TDIU.
Mr. Carpenter?
Yes, sir.
On page A2, the court below says, because the claim is being remanded, the court need not address Ms. Goffney's additional arguments that would lead to no broader remedy than a remand. What do you think the court was referring to there?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear you, Your Honor. Where were you starting from?
Page A2 of the record.
A2.
Last paragraph. First sentence. It says, because the claim
yes.
is being remanded, the court need not address Ms. Goffney's additional arguments that would lead to no broader remedy than a remand. And I was asking you, what do you think the court was referring to there? As in, specifically, what are these Ms. Goffney's additional arguments?
There are no additional arguments, Your Honor.
Well, could it be a legal interpretation argument?
No, Your Honor, because the court could not have reversed if the court did not implicitly accept that the board relied upon a misinterpretation. The court, unfortunately, left that part out of its decision. There's no question about that. But the fact is that there was a reversal and then a remand. This is not a case in which the court was confronted with an issue and said, we're going to remand for a factual determination. The court below reversed the board decision without explicitly saying the grounds, but did make a determination that there was an incorrect factual determination. That underlying factual determination is dispositive of the interpretation urged by Ms. Goffney before the Veterans Court.
For what it's worth, I was reading the opinion as saying the board's decision is reversed because the board made an erroneous fact finding. And that fact finding being whether she was I guess, representing, I think the specific fact was whether she was representing at the time that the TDI new claim was
raised. Presented.
That's it. And then nothing else was decided.
But with all due respect to the court below, that was the end of the matter. There is nothing else
Maybe
to do.
Maybe they wanted the board to say there's nothing else to do.
No, Your Honor. The law controls. 5904 and the Secretary's regulation controls the outcome of Ms. Goffney's appeal when she argued below that the regulation was misinterpreted because they picked the wrong alternative and required an NOD in order to be entitled to a fee. An NOD was not required because she was previously employed under a valid fee agreement, which the agency itself found valid and paid her fees for the representation of Mr. Moody, I believe is his name.
Mr. Carpenter, can I ask you a factual question? I know I'm out of side factual questions, but in February of 2016, the VA wrote to Mr. Moody and said, we paid you this TDIU amount. We should have subtracted $6,600 and change. We didn't. Unless we hear from you in 60 days, we're going to start recouping that from future payments,
yes.
Presumably so that the VA could then pay
the monies that they paid
the legal representative.
Agent, yes.
Right. Do you know what happened? Did he pay it over to the legal representative? You have no idea. Okay.
I have no idea, Your Honor. At the time,
the government may know.
Ms. Goffney was discharged. Okay. There was no further communication with Mr. Moody. Unless there's further questions, I'll reserve the balance of my time.
We will save it for you, Mr. Helmut.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. I think plaintiff's appellant's view is that once the board remanded, and once the Veterans Court remanded it, as a matter of operation of law, his client is entitled to fees. But that's not how the fee regime was meant to operate, and that's certainly not how it operates. In attempting to piggyback off an earlier fee determination, I think Ms. Goffney is trying to short-circuit the process by saying, well, because there's a remand that implicitly found an error, that error no longer is present, and therefore she's entitled to a fee.
What issues do you think are open on remand?
The remand only determined that the board's decision that she's not entitled to fees at all is incorrect. There's been no reasonableness determination.
Has there been a determination that a reasonableness determination is required? Because if so, then I think Mr. Carpenter is correct that a legal ruling is implicit in the Veterans Court decision.
Could you ask that question again?
Is he entitled to argue when he gets back to the board that the Veterans Court did not decide that there is a reasonableness requirement that has to be applied to my fees, not my fees, his client's fees? Because if you say that the Veterans Court precludes that argument, then the Veterans Court did in fact make a legal interpretation, and we have part one of the Williams test is satisfied.
I don't think, as I understand it, I don't think the Veterans Court made that determination, or that he's precluded from raising those issues on remand. That the remand is. There is one error that, as the court pointed out, there's a factual error here. The board said, you didn't work for the veteran on this TDIU issue, you're not entitled to fees. Everybody agrees that that was incorrect. Nothing else has been decided. And so, he's arguing that there's already been implicit.
I should say that is how I read the Veterans Court decision. But you started by saying, the issues that have to be decided on remand are whether this was a reasonable fee. And I think you expressed some uncertainty about whether he gets to argue, no, that issue does not have to be decided. Case over.
He can certainly argue that below.
Without your arguing that the Veterans Court precludes answers that contention against him.
That's correct. The Veterans Court did not address that. And I'm sorry if I misspoke. the Veterans Court simply said that the board decision was factually incorrect. Everything else is open. He can argue that the presumption entitles his client to the fees without any determination of reasonableness, without anything. That's all open below. That has not been decided. And so this case does not fit within the Williams exception for that reason. There has been no final rule on that issue.
You happen to know what happened with the...
With the fees? I don't, Your Honor. There's in the appendix, it does not indicate after that letter whether Mr. Moody disagreed with that. I suspect that...
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't have an answer to it. But just to emphasize, there's a number of determinations that would be determined on remand, such as... So just the things we talked about. And so at the outset, there is this court shouldn't hear the case because there's been no final VA decision. Ms. Goffney gets to go back and start over. She can argue all her arguments. So the only thing that the Veterans Court decided is that the VA cannot say that she's not entitled to fees because she didn't work for Mr. Moody at the time of the decision. There's still a number of questions as to how that regulation applies. She can certainly raise all of them below. And certainly, just one other thing to point out is that the fee agreement itself contains a reasonableness provision that would apply if the representation was terminated prior to award. And there's been no determination as to what a reasonable fee allocation would be based on that agreement itself. And so Ms. Goffney is arguing she's entitled to the entire 20% for the work that she performed here without any consideration by anybody of whether that comports with the fee agreement or not. If this court has no further questions, we respectfully request that the appeal be dismissed.
Thank you. Mr. Carpenter has some rebuttal time.
Your Honor, the problem with the government's argument is that they didn't answer Judge Toronto's question. What are the issues on remand? Government never told you, because there are no issues. Now, the government suggests that there's an issue about reasonableness, but as this court has observed, the Veterans Court did not address that question. So there are no issues. There are no factual determinations to be made.
Mr. Carpenter, can I ask you?
Yeah.
Given everything that's been said today, how would you satisfy part three of the Williams test about a substantial risk that the issue wouldn't survive a remand?
Because the remand could be granted on, entitlement to a fee could be granted on remand. And as a result, this legal issue would escape judicial review. Yes, Ms. Goffney would get the result that she believes she was intended to at the end of the Veterans Court proceedings. But that's not what the rule contemplates. What the Williams rule contemplates is that it will evade judicial review. And it will, quite possibly, and I think quite likely, evade judicial review. Because there is nothing to decide below. Under the correct interpretation of the regulation and the statute, because she was working for and performing services for Mr. Moody, she established her entitlement to charge a fee. The VA has already agreed to that and paid her a fee. There are no factual determinations to be made. They've already made the calculation for what the past due benefits is. They paid those monies to the veteran. And they mistakenly didn't withhold from his successor representative, who was an agent and not an attorney. Therefore, there's nothing for the agency below to do except to grant. One other point that I would make is that the government said there's only one error, and that was that she didn't perform work for the veteran. That was not the error that was found. The error that was found, regardless of whether that was the error or not, What the court did was to reverse. They reversed the determination implicitly that she was not entitled to a fee, because reversing that factual determination would mean that that's an irrelevant material fact. But that is the only fact that is relevant. The key under both the statute and the regulation is that the attorney performs services for the veteran. And clearly, by filing this TDIU application, Ms. Goffney performed services for Mr. Moody. Unless there's further questions from the panel. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Carpenter. Case is submitted.